anniversary. Emma Lugo of Transpositive will host this special on-air program. You can join us that night at the Queer Community Open House here at KBOO at 20 Southeast Avenue from 7 to 10 p.m. on August 31st. More information about the Queer Community Open House and anniversary programming is available at kboo.fm.
Good morning. It's right before 11 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland. And coming up at 11:30, Art Focus talks to Portland painter Jeremy Okai Davis. And now at the top of the hour is Stage and Studio. It presents Intersections Radio and singer Gabby Moreno with an in-studio performance. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and PD Expendables Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendables specializes in sales and rentals for film, photo, and theater productions, featuring lighting, paint, grip tools, and more. More information by phone at 503-887-5880 and online at pdexpendables.com.
Un baile efímero.
You're listening to Intersections Radio, the podcast where we geek out on all things intersectionality. I'm your host, Sari Gametta. Welcome and thanks for tuning in. Today is a special day and a special episode, a live show. And the track you were just listening to is called Se Apagó by Guatemalan singer-songwriter Gabby Moreno. She won the Latin Grammy for Best New Artist in 2013 and was nominated for an Emmy for composing the theme music for the NBC sitcom Parks and Recreation. And this song is from her latest album, Ilusión. This latest album, Ilusión, covers a range of genres, including blues, vintage R&B, flamenco, country, and more. And in fact, she describes her music delightfully as Spanglish folk soul. She's on tour, and you can see her perform tonight at the Alberta Rose Theater. Gabby joins me today in studio, and she has her guitar, so we're going to have a lot of fun today. This is Intersections Radio. Gabby Moreno, welcome to Intersections Radio.
Thank you so much.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your hometown.
Well, so I was born and raised in Guatemala City. And ever since I was a young girl, I just remember singing everywhere I could. And actually, my mother, who happens to be your colleague, she also has a radio show in Guatemala, and,
oh.
and she did TV and everything. So I came from a very sort of artistic background, and my family was incredibly supportive. They would always try to, find ways to get me on the stage, and I just remember always feeling very comfortable with it. So, you know, I have a funny story that when I was 10 years old, I opened a concert for Ricky Martin.
Really?
Yeah. In Guatemala, but it was like in front of 10,000 people, and it was incredibly thrilling for me. And, you know, as a 10-year-old, yeah, I was a little nervous before getting on stage, but once I was on stage, I just, you know, I owned it. I was like, oh my God, this is what I want to do the rest of my life.
So you knew at age 10.
Yeah.
When did you start training musically? If you were performing for Ricky Martin at 10, or opening at 10
well,
years
I started,
old.
I began actually receiving lessons, vocal lessons, when I was 7 years old, but it was a classical background. So at that age, I was singing a lot of sort of, you know, opera music, and I was a soprano coloratura, which is sort of like the highest register and everything. Now I've completely lost the register because I discovered blues and jazz, and you know it just completely changed my life, you know, listening to that kind of music.
We're definitely going to talk about the blues and jazz influence in your music in a moment, but speaking of the support you were receiving back home from your family in Guatemala, I've heard that the nation of Guatemala is so proud of you, and they see you in some ways as a role model to rise up. How does that make you feel?
Well, it's strange because, you know, I grew up there, so thinking that one day I would be sort of like this role model for people. It just, you know, if you had told me this back then when I was 15 years old, I would have been like, no way, this is crazy. But now that it's happening, I am, of course, I'm incredibly grateful and humbled. And I think it's a big responsibility. I think it's time to put out a message of love and hope. And that's what I'm trying to do with my music.
Especially in this latest album, which we'll talk about in a moment, you immigrated to Los Angeles 16 years ago to pursue music with more opportunities.
Yeah,
that must have been difficult considering how much support, how much you were supported back home.
Right.
And then to leave that behind. Talk about that move.
Yeah, it was hard, but at the same time, it was something that I knew I had to do, and something that I very much look forward to do since I was a little girl. So it's been hard. You know, it's something that I still haven't fully grasped, you know, the fact that I'm far away from my family, because I came to this country completely on my own. Like, my parents, my sisters, everybody, they're all back home. So it's hard to be away, physically away from them, even though nowadays, you know, with technology, I mean, we talk virtually every hour, but it's still hard. It's still hard not to be there for important events and whatnot. But music is a big passion for me, so I knew I had to be in LA. Find opportunities there.
I mean, we certainly benefit from this. This is a good segue to talk about your song "Fronteras," which means borders. And the song is in Spanish and English, and it seems to hit close to home to you. So, talk about what the song means.
Well, the song I initially wrote specifically about Latin American people living in the U.S. So it was an observation of, you know, just seeing how we are stuck between two worlds, and, you know, between two cultures. How we keep our traditions, and yet we have learned new ones along the way, and we're perfectly comfortable with that. We're lively, you know, we're passionate, and we speak Spanglish, and it's all good. I think it's just it's a song to celebrate that diversity and to embrace our cultural differences, but at the same time, it's a song to bring hope to people that are here, that are struggling, and to, you know, to let them know it's gonna be okay. Just hang in there.
So let's hear this from you then.
All right.
Hay un camino que nos trajo hasta aquí. No conoce las fronteras esta pasión dentro de mí. Es anhelo el que me empuja cada nuevo amanecer con mis errores, ilusiones y los restos del ayer. La esperanza nos acompaña. Con ella nada nos puede detener. Yo de tu mano, tú de la mía, no hay nada que temer. Y río y bailo, está en mis venas. Y libre sueño, this is where I belong. This is where I belong. La esperanza nos acompaña, con ella nada nos puede detener. Yo de tu mano, tú de la mía, no hay nada que temer. Y río y bailo, está en mis venas. Y libre sueño, this is where I belong. Quién sabe lo que el mañana nos quisiera regalar. Hoy es todo lo que tengo y lo voy a atesorar. poniendo en manifiesto cuánta luz puedo irradiar y ser feliz, que es el remedio que todo lo puede mejorar. Y río y bailo, está en mis venas, y libre el sueño, this is where I belong. Y río y bailo, está en mis venas, y libre el sueño, oh, oh, this is where I belong. This is where I belong. Yo pertenezco aquí.
Yay! That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Definitely messages of hope in this new album, Ilusión, especially in this song. And, you know, we're living in some very trying times now. Tell us more about your latest album, Ilusión.
Well, it's my fifth album, and it has songs in English and in Spanish. It was produced by Gabe Roth from the Dap Kings, and I wanted to work with him because I had a vision, a concept for this album where I wanted to record it all in analog, and meaning with no computers,
right?
No digital sounds at all. Everything very raw, very real, very human. Embrace imperfections, just try to sound as close as possible to a live sound, you know, to what I sound in my concerts, you know, just sort of leaving there everything, all the emotions. So I think that's you know, we I'm pretty happy with the result. It's a collection of a very you know, real and honest songs that come from my heart. You know, there are some darker themes. There are some songs about love and hope. Like I said, like that's sort of like the message that I want to convey to people nowadays. So,
yeah, this album is described as having songs about love and hope, as you've mentioned, mm-hmm. immigration, as you just
yeah.
sang, and as well about violence against women in the world.
I read that somewhere in an article, and I have no idea where they got that from.
I was kind of wondering that myself.
Because maybe the writer listened to a song, and you know, that's sort of the interpretation they gave it. But no, not for me. But that's good. I mean, that's kind of what I like about songwriting. About especially when I write my songs, I want them to be open to interpretation, you know, and not. Yes, it's good to sing the songs that are a bit more specific and literal, but I think there are other times, like you see, like here, where somebody gave it a whole new meaning, and that's a great thing.
That was.
I mean, I'm not complaining about that. I'm totally against violence against women. So yeah,
right. Yeah. I got that. Yeah. Shifting for a moment, you've talked about how you used to sing opera, and then you discovered blues and jazz. Talk about the first time you discovered blues. How old were you, and what were you listening to?
I was 13 when I went to New York with my family on just a vacation trip. And at the time, I was listening to a lot of musicals. I was really into musicals. And that's the reason why my parents took me to New York. They said, okay, we're going to take you to Broadway to check out a couple of musicals. I was into Disney, you know, Disney songs. And so we went to see a musical. And after that, we decided to take a stroll in Times Square. And so I'm walking down the street, and then I hear this lady singing something that I had never heard in my life, and it just captivated me. It moved me to my core, and I stood there and I listened to her for like 20 minutes, and my parents were like, what is she doing? Come on, let's go. And I was like, no, hang on. I have to keep listening. And this lady was just like pouring her soul out. And then at the end, I came up to her and I said, oh my goodness, what is that music that you're singing? And then she just looked at me and said, that's the blues, honey.
And that was it.
That was it. That was it for me, really. I said, okay, where can I listen to more of this blues? And I went to a record store and I bought compilation albums because I didn't know artists, you know. So I said, okay, I'm just gonna make this discovery on my own. So I came back home to Guatemala with like 20 CDs of blues music, and that's where it all began for me.
And as far as this album, with some of the songs that have more blues influence, who are some of the artists that you were influenced by?
Well, to begin with, I mean, I remember so well the very first song that I heard from those CDs that I bought was Coco Taylor's Wang Dang Doodle. And from there, I started listening a lot to Nina Simone. Then I got into jazz, and I got into Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and Billie Holiday. And then I got into soul with Aretha Franklin and Stevie Wonder, and it just kind of went from there, you know.
Yeah,
I listened to a lot of the good music,
and I can hear a lot of that in your music. I would love to hear another song from you. Is there a favorite that you have on this album that maybe encompasses what we were just talking about?
Well, like I said, there's I don't consider myself a traditional blues artist or a traditional jazz artist, but I have, you know, all of this music has shaped me and influenced me in a way, and you know, the songs that I'm playing for you they don't necessarily sound like blues or jazz, but I don't know, I feel like they have definitely, you know, made their mark in my sound and in the way I sing and write songs. So let's see, I'll try this song. You want me to play a song now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This song is called Nobody to Love. Steady life, all we ever had to offer. Now that old bird has flown far away, longing to be another in that old pleasure dome. Rendezvous with solitude, taking me in, making me fall, 'cause the gags are all gone and the storm is full grown. Ain't got nobody to love. Black tears streaming down onto the coffee in the early morning. Bittersweet melodies slowly bury me down. I'm growing dark, I'm growing cold, savoring this new treasury, 'cause the gags are all gone and the storm is full grown. Ain't got nobody to love. Laying flat on my back, where to keep my soul intact. Ain't got nobody, nobody, baby, nobody to love.
Yes. I love the diversity of sound in your music. And I wanted to talk about how you describe this album. What I love is that you call it Spanglish folk soul. So why don't you describe what that means for us?
What it means is that I would always get so confused when people would ask me, so hey, can you describe, you know, what your music sounds like or where it comes from, and it was hard to describe, you know, and I never liked music that is easy to describe, you know what I mean? Like, so I feel like it's a mix of all of my influences. And the reason why I came down to Spanglish folk soul is because that's really what it is. You have songs in Spanish and English, and there's a lot of the folk music from, you know, the Americana sound. And then there's the soul music that, you know, has been there with me for many, many years. And I feel like with the soul world comes sort of like the blues sound and the jazz sound and all that. So, yeah, that was my way of shortening a very long way of describing my music.
I like it. It's clever, and it is very all-encompassing of your sound. I am a language nerd, also a truncated version of what I do. So I'm always interested in talking to multilingual artists who do their art across different languages. I think that's very challenging. So what is it like for you to compose in English and Spanish, or sometimes in Spanglish? Okay. What is the process for you?
Well, I sit down with my guitar and I'll start strumming some chords, and then I'll start humming a melody, and then just by like pure magic, that, you know, the words will either come in Spanish or in English. Like, I don't, or, well, sometimes I will sit down and say, okay, I want this song to be in Spanish. What I hadn't done, because I did it on this record for the first time, was to translate songs.
Like, right,
to
write them first.
This one does have that. I wrote Se Apagó, which is the first single of the album, in Spanish. The reason why I translated, though, was because I wanted to sing it as a duet with someone in English, and I got an amazing soul singer from Nashville. His name is Johnny P. And at first I wanted him to sing it with me in Spanish, but he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish. So I said, okay, all right, I'm gonna do this for the very first time, translate a song into English.
You translated it yourself.
Yeah. And so we did this, and it was it's amazing. It's amazing how it sounds with Johnny P, you know, singing the duet. The Spanish version is just me.
Right, but, right. Yeah. Is it harder to do one or the other? Is it either composing in one language or the other, or singing in one language or the other? Do you have a different sense?
It's not hard. Spanish language is very poetic, but it has a lot of syllables. So I think maybe I have a bit of a harder time in Spanish, just because, you know, you want to fit, you want to say so much in just a phrase or two, and that's a bit challenging. So that one, I would say, it takes me a little bit more time. But I enjoy writing and singing in both languages. I feel very comfortable doing it that way.
It's exciting.
And it wasn't that way all the time. You know, at the beginning, in when I moved to LA, I was exclusively just singing in English and writing in English.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and because I loved blues and jazz, and to me it just sounded more authentic to sing those styles in English. So then later, a few years had to go by, and then I submitted one of my songs, one of the very first songs that I wrote in Spanish, to the John Lennon Songwriting Contest, and it went on to win Song of the Year. And it was like, they were telling me it was the first time that a song from the Latin category won the overall contest. And that, you know, that gave me hope. I was like, oh my goodness, this is a good thing. Like, this could be, you know, like, for the first time I thought, that is something special that I have, you know, that I can connect with people, you know, from not just from the US, but in Latin America. And you know, it took a while, but at that time I said, why am I denying my roots? You know, that I shouldn't be doing that. So
I'm so glad you felt, well, congratulations, first of all, on winning that Song of the Year.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that led you to finding your roots and,
it really did.
Fusing these two parts of yourself.
Yeah.
Well, completely shifting from the talk of blues and Spanglish folk soul to a wonderful surprise track when I was listening to this album, was talking about the song La Malagueña, because I'm only familiar with the salsa version of the song by Eddie Palmieri, and I've danced to it many times in my life. And then it turns out, as I looked into it, it was actually, you know, there are, I guess, a few covers of the song. And your cover is many more covers. Of a flamenco variety. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Variety.
I don't
even know
how you came to this.
I don't even know what it is. Because it's, I wouldn't call my version of a flamenco, not traditional. If you say that to like the real flamenco singers and players, they're gonna be like, no way. it's a song that I started singing a few years ago in LA. I was singing at this place called Largo with a group of musicians, and you know, the crowd that was coming to see these shows was predominantly white, and the musicians from the band said to me, well, why don't you bring a few Latin numbers so that, you know, we can introduce some of these very traditional songs from Latin America to this audience that, you know, possibly have never heard of this music. So that's how I started singing Quizás Quizás and Piel Canela and all these boleros. And then one day I brought Malagueña and I said, okay, we're going to do the song, but I can't sing it in the traditional sense. I mean, the way I had heard the song was more in the mariachi, big sound and big singing, and I said, okay, I'm gonna bring the song, but I'm gonna try to make it my own. And that has been the case with all of these Spanish covers that I've done. I always try to kind of put, you know, my sound into it. I think that's an important thing to do, you know, with any artist. So that's how this song, you know, that's how I started to think that it could be a good idea to include it in the album. And then I also had the idea of asking my friend David Garza, who's an incredible singer-songwriter and musician himself, and he plays a lot on my new record, and on this version, that's him playing guitar.
Oh, okay.
And he just took it to another level. It's unbelievable. Actually, the way we recorded the song was really cool. It was just me and him in the room with one microphone, and he played electric guitar. I think that's probably the first time that the Malagueña has been done that way. With an electric guitar.
We'll do
it differently.
We have very little time left, and I know you said it's very early in the morning.
It is
to sing to this sing Malagueña variety of this song.
I will try.
Can you sing it for us?
Here we go. Bonitos ojos tienes debajo de esas dos cejas, debajo de esas dos cejas. Qué bonitos ojos tienes. Ellos me quieren mirar, pero si tú no los dejas, pero si tú no los dejas, ni siquiera Malagueña salerosa, besar tus labios quisiera, besar tus labios quisiera, Malagueña salerosa. Y decirte, niña hermosa, que eres linda y hechicera, que eres linda y hechicera, como el candor de una rosa, como el candor. De una rosa.
Thank you so much, Gabby Moreira, for joining me on Intersections Radio. This was a lovely mini concert and conversation with the gorgeous and soulful Spanglish soulful Gabby Moreira.
Thank you.
For the special live episode of Intersections Radio, I will wrap this up very quickly. To listen to a podcast of this interview, check out intersectionsradio.wordpress.com. Visit the same website for previous episodes of this podcast and join the Facebook community at facebook.com/intersectionsradio. You're listening to Intersections Radio. This program airs locally on KBOO Community Radio. I'm Sarika Mehta, and thanks for listening.
I see my light come shine.
In 1967, Bob Dylan and several members of what became The Band got together in upstate New York. For months, they played and recorded. Join Rita Houston as she talks to band members about that time and sample some of the musical gems that are in the complete basement tapes. All right here on the singer-songwriter edition of the Monday Sampler, September 3rd at 2 p.m.
Hi there. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO FM Community Radio 90.7. My name is Eric Bartels. Our guest today is Jeremy Okai Davis, a longtime Portland painter and artist. He's been known in the past for work that has appeared in Portland galleries primarily, but of late his work has been showing up on a larger scale in public places in Portland and elsewhere in the state. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow, today, Cascadia